Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you paying for insurance you don't need? According to our guests, consumers waste millions of dollars each year because of add-on insurance products. We're going to discuss how you can avoid needless insurance and tell you what add-ons really are. My guest is Robert Hunter. He's the Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America. Bob, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Nice to be with you, Shirley.
Now, add-on insurance and millions of dollars. You know what? Let's talk about how we can avoid it. First off, define for us, what do you mean by add-on insurance?
I mean insurance that's added on to something else the consumer is buying.
So that you didn't set out to buy an insurance policy. This is not an insurance policy we're talking about.
Right. You didn't go out to buy insurance. You went out to buy a house. You went out to buy a car, furniture. You went out to get services. And suddenly you find yourself being offered an insurance policy. That's an add-on to some other product or service.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the prime examples. And you mentioned several things. Let's talk about cars, for example. I just bought a new car, but I did not get credit for it. Didn't go through the credit, but you're saying that when people buy a car and they use credit, how does it work?
Well, what happens is you buy the car and you need a loan to pay for the car. The car dealer will try to sell you credit insurance. So in case you die, for example, or get sick, the car payments would be made by the insurance instead. That's to protect your car, and you would therefore, if you died, your spouse or your beneficiary would be able to keep the car. That's not a bad idea, but that's not the way to buy the insurance.
Okay, so suppose you are taking out a loan, and you want to make sure that if something does happen to you, and or you lose your job, would the kind of insurance that you're talking about take over car payments if you lost your job, for example?
Well, it would pay off the car payments completely, but pick up your payments if you lost your job for a while, and maybe pay off the whole car.
Okay.
With death, it pays off your whole car, which is okay. The problem is it's very expensive insurance, and you shouldn't buy it there. If you need life insurance, for example, you should get good term insurance to protect your dependents with enough term insurance to take care of all your loans, including your mortgage, including your car payments, et cetera, your credit card payments.
Well, now, is this likely to be a requirement for you to get a loan?
No.
No.
It is not
okay.
A requirement.
Okay.
It cannot be a requirement by federal rule.
Okay.
And so they can't tell you have to get the insurance. And it's really for yourself, and you should go out and buy good term insurance if you need to, if you want to protect that stream of car payments, or if you want to protect your mortgage, or you want to protect your credit card debt. Any debt that you want to protect, don't buy it from the car dealer or the bank. Buy it from a life insurance agent and get term insurance.
Because that's a short-term insurance that has lower premiums, but it will allow you, if anything happens to you during the life of that insurance, then it would kick in.
Yeah. If you think about life insurance, you need it when you have a child or some other dependent. And you need enough to take care of the child and the food and the housing of the child, the clothing, the education. Plus, you would like to be able to have sufficient extra to take care of your debts, mortgage, and everything. So if you did die, your spouse or your child would have everything paid off and would have some money for the education and the rest of
the things. For the necessities of life,
And when you buy term insurance, it's very cheap, and you can get enough in one great big policy to cover all those. If you went out and bought credit insurance on your car, credit insurance on your
Your mortgage and all
credit
that.
Credit insurance, you can get it on your credit card bills. You can get it on your furniture if you buy it, et cetera. If you went out and bought all those little pieces, you would end up spending an absolute fortune, whereas you would be you'd be paying thousands of dollars for something that might cost you $100.
Well, and the other thing is it was only for one specific occasion, whereas term life insurance is if your life ends during the term of that insurance, then you will get a lump sum of money.
Right. And the other thing is that if for example, you get a loan from a bank and you buy credit insurance to cover that loan, it only pays off that loan. It doesn't give you spouse money. So if, for example, you had a 4% interest rate mortgage and you died and now interest rates had gone up to 7% or something, you wouldn't want to pay off the loan. You'd want to keep the money and put it and invest it at 7%. You wouldn't have that option with the credit insurance, whereas with term insurance, you get the money, you do what you want with it.
Yes, your family can do as they wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But the important thing here is then consumers need to be aware that they cannot be forced to buy credit insurance from the seller of whatever the product is.
That's right.
In order to get a mortgage. Now, when you, in order to get a line of credit, for example, to buy your car.
Or a house.
Or a house. Now, it seems to me like lending companies have typically required consumers to have some sort of insurance.
Well, if you put up less than 20% of the value of a home, they require you to get a private mortgage insurance in case you forfeit. But that's different.
Okay.
They do require you to get title insurance on their interest.
Okay.
You don't have to buy it for yourself.
So there are some instances where you have to buy it. But in the majority of cases that we're going to be talking about today, that's not the case.
Right. And of course, they also require you to buy fire insurance on your house and collision insurance on your car.
Yeah, to protect the
collateral.
Asset.
Yeah, they're protecting the collateral.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about some of these other issues. So here we are. We're going to buy a car. You do not have to buy insurance. But it may be, as you say, a good idea to go out and buy term insurance to protect your family in case something happens
to you. If you need life insurance, you need it. You should get enough to cover these loans. Life insurance is much more important for protecting the child, the education, the food, and all
and
that.
Your assets.
Than it is for your keeping a car.
Yes.
But if you may as well, when you're buying term, since it's so cheap, get enough to cover the car, too.
Exactly. I think that makes eminent sense. Okay. So let's move on to, it's funny, furniture insurance. I've never thought of that as something that would be sold separately from insurance you would have on your home. Yeah. But in fact, it is, isn't it?
If you buy furniture and again, if you take a loan, they will offer you insurance to cover the loan in case somebody dies or gets sick. And again, for the same reasons, you shouldn't buy that. You should get that as part of your overall insurance plan.
Right.
A very good rule, by the way, is if you go out to buy a product or a service and suddenly find yourself negotiating insurance, be very cautious. Probably don't buy it. Go talk to an insurance professional. Normally, when you go to someone and they're selling you a product and they're suddenly selling you insurance, they're getting a big kickback on the money, and therefore the insurance is extremely expensive. You can usually get it if you decide that you need it, and a lot of times you don't. But if you do decide you need it, you can get it much cheaper somewhere else.
Yeah, you need to shop around. Yes. Don't make those decisions.
Say to
right
somebody,
away.
"Look, well, I'm interested. Give me your paperwork and your price, and I'll let you know." And then go shop if you really want.
Go to a broker who represents a number of companies and find out who offers what.
Go online and find.
Online. Sure. Absolutely. Isn't it amazing how the world has changed? We can just find stuff at our fingertips now. But be careful. Be careful
online. There are some warnings about going online too. A lot of the offers online are somewhat misleading and frequently don't represent the best deals available in the market because the people putting out lists of purchases are getting commissions. And for example, a company that doesn't use commissions like USAA will never show up
in
those lists.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Robert Hunter. He is the Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America. Bob, you've been involved in insurance issues for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known you for a long time. We won't tell everybody how long.
I started in insurance in 1959.
Wow. Tell me how it's changed. What have you seen? Have changes been favorable to consumers? What's happened?
No, I think what's happened in insurance is probably in a lot of professions, I'm afraid, is that the short-term profit is much more important than it used to be. When I was a young man, I can remember going to top executives and to report a major claim and them saying, "Don't worry about the impact on us. Let's do what we can to help those people." But it's different today. The short-term profit, it seems to have overridden a lot of the kind of high morality, high good faith standards that the industry used to have.
It's the bottom line. That's how these CEOs keep their job.
Yeah, the bottom line. And, of course, stockholders are pressuring them.
Right.
And rating agencies are pressuring them. Everybody's pressuring them to get the profits up. Even when they don't need to. For example, the property casualty insurance industry today has more surplus than it's ever had.
Now, property casualty being...
That's everything but life insurance.
I see.
That's like car and home and all. And they have more profit than they ever have. And now they're still saying, the rating agencies and others are saying, you got to get out there and jack up the rates some more, you know.
Oh, really?
And so it's...
A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure on the CEOs to produce results for the stockholders, even when they have more money than they need in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the reason, I guess, why people show up and occupy Wall Street.
That's right.
They never Ralph Nader once told me, greed is infinite. And there never seems to be enough. And the pressure is great on these CEOs to produce results.
Keep going for it. Well, and so it becomes a challenge for consumers to learn how to protect themselves.
Right. Both in when you're buying insurance and when you have a claim, you have to be very cautious that you're buying insurance. Shopping can easily save you 50% of from one company to another. And spending an hour shopping is really worthwhile. When I was insurance commissioner in Texas, we got 25 auto policyholders and 25 homeowner policyholders. We gave them our buyer's guide. Every state has buyer's guide, so you can get some information. And we gave them telephones. And we said, all right, take your policy, look through the buyer's guide, mm-hmm. make calls. We'll give you 1 hour. The average person in auto insurance saved $125
wow.
per car.
Wow.
And the average person in home saved just under $100. We called it the $100 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So if you spend an hour, you can save $100, and
that's
pretty good.
And maybe more.
And that's per year. I mean, once you save it,
right.
you'll keep saving.
It keeps adding up.
Right.
Well, the other thing that the dilemma that consumers are faced with, for example, are warranties, extended
yes.
warranties.
That's another thing add on at the
mm-hmm.
Point
now,
of
for
sale.
Example, when I bought my vehicle, they asked me if I wanted an extended warranty. My answer was no.
Yeah. I don't take warranties personally, but yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know people who've had extended warranties on large ticket items like cars, and sometimes it's paid off.
Right.
Also, what about warranties on things like a stereo, an audio system in your home that's attached to a TV, big screen, plasma TV, that sort of thing? Sometimes there might be an incentive to buy insurance on these products, but your advice to consumers is to go out and shop.
Yeah.
Look around and see what you can get in terms of getting insurance and having it repaired, for example.
Right. Sometimes these warranties are very expensive. You have to look at the price, see what they're – ask for a copy of the policy you'll get.
They should And read it.
And read it. and see if it really is covering what you're worried about. You know, wear and tear probably isn't covered.
No.
I mean,
right.
so you're going to – it's going to have to be some breakdown after the 90-day period or whatever. So usually if something's working for 90 days, it's probably going to keep working a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy these things usually. But I still think it's worth looking at. But make
right.
sure you get a copy of the policy. People buy these policies without ever seeing them.
Well, I kind of view insurance warranties and things as needed for catastrophic items. But if it's something you can afford to pay for out of pocket, you're probably going to save money in the long run.
When you're buying insurance, there are two C's to remember, and that's one of them. Catastrophic. You want to, if it's something you can afford to pay out of pocket, don't buy insurance. Every dollar you give insurance companies, at best, you get 60 cents back over a long time. Everybody will get an average of 60 cents back. So you give away 40 cents every time you give them
mm-hmm.
a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to give them dollars unless you... It has to be something important, like you dying and your child being left homeless or something.
Yes.
That's important. That's a catastrophe. Those should be covered. The other thing is, the other C is comprehensive. For example, you don't buy something that just covers a slice of what you need, like credit life insurance.
Like we were talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
That's only a little slice of what you
right.
need. You could get air travel life insurance. That's another slice. You don't need to buy your insurance a bite at a time. You should get the whole apple.
There used to be a big deal on people buying insurance before they got on an airplane.
Yeah. And they still sell different kinds of travel mm-hmm. products mm-hmm. with these things. But you want to buy comprehensively to cover catastrophes. And if it doesn't meet either of those definitions, don't buy it.
Right. Okay. Well, that's very good, succinct advice for consumers. The two C's.
Yeah.
Keep those in mind. Okay, so you look at it, we're looking at insurance in terms of it's an investment. It should be something that is going to be useful to you. If something dire happens to you, it's going to protect your family.
Sure.
Buying a specific insurance policy, an add-on, as you call them,
right.
is often not a good idea for consumers. Yeah. Now, I know one of the
because
things,
it's not comprehensive. It just right. covers that one very
exactly.
narrow thing.
Exactly. Now, for example, when you buy an appliance, the pressure to buy a warranty, an extended warranty on those appliances is really quite significant because, you know, you're always told you need to buy this, you need to buy that. And I've known consumers who spent hundreds of dollars a month on warranties on various
products. Insurances. At
exactly.
The,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess you have to be very careful that this is not what you get persuaded to do. When you're
remember why they're selling you so hard. They're getting
a
big
a
kickback.
Right.
Car dealers make more on credit insurance than they make on cars.
Wow. Wow. Mm. Well, the other thing that you should be concerned about, if you're buying a warranty from a company, let's say the car loan, isn't it dependent on whether or not that car company stays in business?
Well, usually his
problem is that's not his problem. But what about buying a warranty through a department store for a product?
Yeah, insurance is different than a warranty because insurance is regulated and they do have to have a real licensed company.
But now, how much of what we're talking about is insurance, and how much are we talking about is warranties?
Well, what we first talked about, credit insurance
can actually be either.
You can get it either way. It can also be called debt cancellation. That's like a warranty. Or it can be called credit insurance, and that's real insurance.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Real insurance is a little better because real insurance is covered by the guarantee funds. It's a little bit like the FDIC. It's real insurance is better.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Robert Hunter. He's the Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, and we're talking about ways that consumers can save a lot of money by avoiding add-on insurance. Okay, now, so when we say add-on insurance, that actually is covering two things. That's an insurance policy that would be covered by government regulations for some circumstances. And we also are really talking about warranties as well, because that is a form of insurance, but not under government regs.
There are warranties and other debt cancellation type products that are not insurance and therefore not covered by regulation.
Okay, so you really need to know the difference, too, because your protections are vastly different.
Yes. Yes, in case the insurer goes broke with insurance, there's a facility behind it called mm-hmm. guarantee that will make mm-hmm. sure that you get paid.
Okay.
Whereas with the debt cancellation, that's not necessary.
That's not necessary. Yeah, right. So you may or may not. It depends. Mm-hmm. So even if you feel like this is something you really want to buy, perhaps in a warranty on your car or a warranty on a major appliance that you don't want to have to worry about taking that big screen TV to the repair shop. So the thing you need to do, though, is to check to see if you want to buy that from a third party.
Right.
Because that would not be catastrophic insurance in a sense, except that you just don't want to have to pay somebody to come in and you know, I mean, aren't there insurance policies or warranties that would give you,
well, you gotta read your
coverage to come into your house and have the work done?
Some do, but some
don't.
Some require you to take it to their facility or mail it into their facility.
Oh, yeah, mail in a big screen TV.
Yeah,
good luck with that.
So you have to take it somewhere probably with a big mm-hmm. screen TV. Mm-hmm. So you still have that burden, I think, in most of these warranties. That's why you need to read it. Find out what happens if my big screen TV blows up. What do I do? Do I just call them and they come and get it, or do they tell me I have to carry it to Timbuktu?
Do you think the day will ever come where we will be able to sit down and see a description of warranty on our TV, for example? that's actually readable.
Well, there's a lot of pressure from consumer groups for transparency in these things. Products are different. And people are saying, well, this product costs $100 and this one costs $150. Which one's better? And a lot of times I have to say, I'm not sure.
Right, right.
Because
exactly.
We don't know exactly. We haven't seen the actual contract yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of problems have you seen change over time, Bob, that people experience in dealing with insurance companies? Insurance, now we're talking about insurance, not warranties.
Well,
is it denial of claims?
Oh, denial of claims is much worse than it used to be, in my view. They've come up with computerized systems that actually help the company control adjusters and keep them within ranges of where they'll settle claims, and they get their rewards, bonuses, and stuff are sometimes dependent on where they are in these ranges. Mm-hmm. And so these computerized systems can actually generate savings for the companies, and they've they've begun to call the claims department a profit center.
Wow.
Which is crazy, because the idea is you have a contract, you have the right to a fair payment, and for them to say, well, we're going to try to save money and make money out of the claims department. That if somebody had tried to do that 50 years ago, I think they'd have been tossed out of the industry they'd have called the cops.
Well,
but today it's widespread.
You can understand the profit motive. The company has to make money.
Yeah.
But there has to be fair treatment of consumers as well. Is there any way for consumers to find out how insurance companies treat them? Overall,
you can look at complaint ratios. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners has something called the Consumer Information Source on the front page of their website, www.naic.org.
I think actually I've been to their website. Yeah. I've just forgotten the name of it.
And
thank you.
And if you click on Consumer Information Source, you can get information about companies, including their complaint ratios.
Give us that website again, please.
www.naic.org.
And also, of course, at the Consumer Federation, you all have a lot of insurance on your website, information on your website.
Yes.
Give us that information also.
Yeah, it's www.consumerfed.org.
That's consumerfed.org.
Yeah, and we just put up on the website late last night a brand new step-by-step, how do you get a fair claim settlement? Which I think a lot of people would like to see.
Oh, yes. That would be very valuable. A great thing for consumers to follow, because I think the maze of getting through to an insurance company, although they all have lines for you to call, but knowing how to proceed with your claim, that is such an important thing.
And when to say no. I mean, they might ask you for your Social Security number. Sometimes you should give it. Sometimes you shouldn't. We tell you in which cases you shouldn't. And sometimes you should agree to have your statement recorded, and sometimes you shouldn't. We tell you when you shouldn't.
Okay.
So there are all kinds of steps.
Lots of different things that you need to know.
Right.
Okay, and that website is consumerfed.org. That's F-E-D, consumerfed.
Right. And just click on what's new, and you'll see this press release and two documents, including a checklist you can follow if you have a auto insurance
claim.
Great. Oh,
that's awesome. And also the other one, if you want to check out an insurance company and see how it handles claims from its policyholders, you can go to NAIC.org. That's NAIC.org. Actually, I have been to their website, because I have gone in there and looked, because we were in a battle with an insurance company once about my son's car. They wanted to total it, and we'd spent a lot of money on it. It was an old car. We won. I'm happy to say. But boy, it took some effort.
Yeah. You have to be your own advocate.
Yeah, because oftentimes I think the insurance company want to total cars because they don't want to repair them.
Right.
And that's kind of a losing game for a consumer.
Exactly.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the website for all this wonderful information is consumerfed.org. You have been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Robert Hunter. He's the Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America. And, of course, I'm hoping we've given you a lot of information you can use in helping you deal with whether or not you should buy add-on insurance and whether or not you should just think about getting a term life insurance policy to cover all of those needs and things where you might have an emergency. I'm Shirley Rooker, and I thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.